Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we continue our series of comedians who kept Americans in stitches with Fred Allen. We'll broadcast two half-hour shows, and this first one is a double treat because it includes Jack Benny. Jack Benny and Fred Allen had a good-natured feud that lasted for decades, and it was a delight to the audience. Part of the fun in this show is listening to the screams and howls of laughter from the studio audience when Jack Benny shows up on the Fred Allen Show. Enjoy the Fred Allen Show, King for a Day, first broadcast May 26, 1946 on NBC.
Mr. Allen, Mr. Allen.
It isn't one of the old hickory singers, kiddies.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show. With Fred's guests, Mary Livingston's husband, Portland Hopper, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, Parker Fenley as Titus Moody, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And until I start tooting the claghorn, my name is Kenny Delmar. Ladies and gentlemen, Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Benjamin Franklin said, remember, time is money. But for the last 8 months, all I've said is, here he is again, Fred Allen.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, I happen to overhear your opening remarks. Lad, if you are unhappy in your work...
Well, how can I be happy, Fred? Every Sunday, what do? I have one line. Here he is again.
Kenny, the man who invented the telephone only had one line when he started.
Yeah, but Fred, I'm not getting any place in radio. It's the same on my other show.
Oh, you're on another...
Lucky Strike program.
Oh, the Lucky Strike program. What do you do on that?
You know when the man says LSMFT?
Yeah.
Then the tobacco auctioneer says, yatata, yatata, sold American.
Uh-huh.
Then a voice says, you bet.
You bet.
Another voice says, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
The voice that says, yes, sir, is mine.
You're beaten down on that show, too, huh? Kenny, why don't you give up that other job and just work on our show?
You mean you'll pay me the extra money?
No, Kenny, but I tell you what I shall do. I'll let you add the line you have on the Lucky Strike program to the line you have on our show. Put them together now and see how they sound.
Here he is again. Yes, sir.
How is that?
Well, that's more like it, Fred. Now I've got something to do.
As long as you're happy, Kenny.
Mr. Allen.
Well, partner. Well, Portland, pull up an old rejoinder and sit down. What's new?
Mama says President Truman has taken over all the coal mines.
Does your mother need coal?
Yes. Mama's calling up the White House tomorrow and ordering 2 tons.
Oh, that's fine. Do away with the middleman. Go right to the top. Well, if she needs any wood, the president could sit down at the piano and give her a couple of chords, I imagine. Not good. Help it. The man crept in here and did something to the script tonight. I won't mention his name.
Mama says the world today is a bowling alley.
The world is a bowling alley?
Every time you turn around, there's a strike.
Well, I'm glad. Anything you don't understand, applaud. It's perfectly all right. That's what they do in Hollywood. People come in, just applaud and get warm and go home. I'm glad the trains are running again, Portland.
Yes, if the railroad strike lasted one more week...
Yeah?
The Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe would have been off the hip parade.
Oh, that would have been terrible. Well, I think I'll run along, Portland. I have to get my magnifying glass and worm a crab apple.
Mama says fry Friday is your birthday.
That's right.
How old are you?
Nobody knows, Portland. I was born before the Decca Company started, so there weren't any records in those days.
Mama says laugh.
Now, don't you laugh. Don't you stop laughing. You're going to establish a precedent in here. I want to know about it. Come to me.
Mama says last year when the candles on your birthday cake melted down...
Yeah?
There was enough grease to wax the floor at Roseland.
Oh, I'm not that old, Portland.
Mama says if you were a piece of furniture, you'd be an antique.
Yeah. If I was an antique in radio, I'd be Duncan's other fife. Well, that's life, I guess, Portland.
Mama says life is like the Australian fig bird.
The Australian fig bird?
It lives on the seeds and figs.
But there aren't any figs in Australia.
The Australian fig bird dies at birth.
And the Australian fig bird has nothing on our jokes, let me tell you. I think we'd better get along to Allen's Alley, Portland.
What is your question tonight?
Well, recently, a Mr. Ralph Slater, a specialist in mental suggestion, made a phonograph record that he guarantees will put any insomniac to sleep. And so our question is, do you have any trouble sleeping? And if you do, what are you doing about it?
Shall we go?
As the dollar dinner said when the glutton sat down, I'll be gone in a minute. It's so good to get back to Allen's Alley, Portland. It's as quiet as an eel coiling in a bucket of whipped cream. Say, I wonder if the senator is in. Let's knock.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Yes,
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn, that
well, now,
is.
Look, I know.
Something tells me you don't remember me, son.
Look, I remember
I'm
you.
I'm from the South. The poon and possum paradise.
Now, look, Senator.
The only plant life I have around my house is a Virginia creeper.
Now, wait a minute.
Every time I get chicken pox, they're southern fried.
Senator.
You remember me now, son?
No.
Don't say no in my presence.
Why not?
N-O, that's North abbreviated.
Senator, what about this sleeping problem?
When I first went to the Senate, I had plenty of trouble sleeping. After the roll was called, I'd put on my sail-sucker nightshirt and my Lindsay-Woolsey beret. I'd face the South, lean back, close my eyes.
And go to sleep, eh?
Until some Yankee pigeon plucker would get up, start flapping his lips, and break up my Morpheus filibuster. Filibuster, that is.
I heard you the first time, Senator. Are you still losing sleep, Senator?
No, I've solved my problem, son.
How?
When I'm ready to sleep in the Senate, I sit back and croon myself my southern lullaby.
What is your southern lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, small fry on the cotton tree top. When the southern wind blows, your cradle will rock. When the wind's from the north, I say, baby, you'll bawl. For down will come cradle, tree, and you all.
Well, very good, Senator. So long, Senator.
So long,
Well, the Senator stopped just in time. I was dozing off myself. Now, I wonder how Titus Moody is doing.
Howdy, bub.
You're starting to sound like Dennis Day, Titus. Johnny, Mr. Moody. Do you have any trouble sleeping?
I only half sleep.
Half sleep?
I got short eyelids.
With short eyelids, you can't close your eyes, eh?
Only when I frown.
Oh, I see. Well, are you the only one awake on the farm?
No, daylight saving time has got everything in a swivet.
The animals are bewildered?
Yeah. My cow had insomnia.
Your cow didn't sleep at all?
The bags under her eyes were so big, I didn't know which end to milk.
You were confused, eh?
Yeah. First time I milked the wrong end and got two buckets full of homogenized tears.
Well, have you cured the cow's insomnia?
I got a book on hypnotizing.
Good.
I stood in front of the cow.
Yeah?
I stared right into her eyes.
Uh-huh.
I started waving with my hands.
Uh-huh.
I said, alakazam, alakazen. You ain't a cow, you're a hen.
You're a hen. Well, was your hypnotism a success?
Yeah, today that cow thinks she's a hen.
Well, how do you know?
Well, she's sitting on a nest.
You mean?
She's laying eggnogs. Come on, man.
Let's try this next door here.
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Hoagy Carbuncle.
Tell me, Mrs. N., do you have trouble sleeping?
Who could sleep? Every night with his dreaming, my husband Pierre is waking me up.
He dreams, huh?
Always he has different things.
Dreams he's different things? How do you mean?
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is the lone stranger.
Yeah.
All night long, he is yelling, "Hi-ho, Silver!"
Hi-ho, Silver, huh?
Upstairs is living a Mr. Silver.
Yeah?
All night, he is yelling back, "Hi-ho, Nussbaum!"
I see.
One night, Pierre is dreaming he is an automobile, a roadster.
A roadster?
In his pajamas, Pierre is sleeping with the top down.
Oh. Fine.
Once, he is dreaming he is an Alka-Seltzer.
An Alka-Seltzer?
All night, Pierre is fizzing.
Well, no wonder. No wonder you can't sleep.
Last night, he should drop dead.
What happened?
He is dreaming he is a tea kettle.
A tea kettle, huh?
All night long, Pierre is whistling.
Whistling?
In the morning when he is waking.
Yeah?
In bed with Pierre is 20 dogs.
Well, that brings us to the lavender shanty at the end of the alley. Let's try here.
You knocked 3 times. Do you think that's nice? In my last picture, the postman rang twice.
Ah, Falstaff, you have new poems tonight?
Indubitably. Hast heard, said the little bear to the big giraffe, let's eat a hyena just for a laugh?
No.
Or, when I called her baby, her face lit up because she had a lantern jaw?
No.
How about this? Mother's home putting spikes in her shoes. She's playing first base for Vera Cruz.
Now, wait a minute, Paul. You exponent of the hackney, tonight we are discussing the problem of sleep.
My poem awaits your bidding.
And what is your shut-eye sonata called?
My recipe for slumber.
How does it gee?
If you cannot sleep at night and you don't know what to do, my recipe for slumber is just the thing for you. Don't waste time taking powders. Don't bother counting sheep. Don't dawdle in a hot bath hoping you will sleep. Don't give up drinking coffee. Don't send for any gland man. You can eat and drink all night, and still you'll meet the Sandman. My recipe for slumber is older than the Sphinx. Just cut 20 tiddlies into halves, and you'll get 40 winks.
Well, thank you. And as Falstaff runs for cover, we turn to greet the DeMarco sisters. Accompanied by Maestro Al Goodman, and as I haven't got a joke for them this week, Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing, Doing What Comes Naturally.
Folks are dumb where I come from. They ain't had any learning. Still they're happy as can be, doing what comes naturally. Folks like us could never fuss with school, books, and learning. Still we've gone from Italy, doing what comes naturally. You don't have to know how to read or write when you're out with a feller in the pale of moonlight. You don't have to come from a great big town not to go picking berries in an evening gown. That comes naturally. That comes naturally.
My uncle out in Texas can't even write his name. He signs his checks with X's, but the cash them just the same.
Uncle Ben got angry when they caught him stealing chickens. I'm within my rights, said he.
A-doin', 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 doin', doin'.
And now a simple suggestion.
A suggestion about something good to eat makes us all take notice, so here's one for the book. Be smart when you spend your food dollars, ladies. Get the most for your money. Get Bluebonnet Margarine, for it gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Yes, not just one, not just two, but all three. You get flavor, delicious flavor, fresh, delicate, country sweet. The fussiest eater in your family will tell you, gee, Mom, this tastes swell. Bluebonnet brings you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Bluebonnet saves you real money. Costs just about half as much as an expensive table spread. And remember, Bluebonnet margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast, so you know it's pure, fresh, dependable. These days, your grocer doesn't always have Bluebonnet, for there's an acute shortage of table spreads, but keep asking. He'll have it. And when he does, grab it. Remember the letters FNE for flavor, nutrition, economy. Bluebonnet margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was just a short order of Who Do You Love, I Hope, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his 40 men who...
This is Studio 6A,
say, wait a minute,
folks.
Wait a minute.
This glass booth is the control room.
Say, just a minute.
That little man with the mildew on him is a vice president.
Say, wait a minute. What is this?
This is a Radio City 60 cent tour. Okay, folks, let's get going. Hey, wait a minute. I got a stowaway here.
A stowaway in a tour?
Only 15 people paid. Now I got 60.
Who would be low enough to sneak into a tour to save 60 cents?
There's the guy. Hey, you!
Who, me?
Jack Benny. Jack.
Come on, Jack. I'm going to get 60 cents out of you.
Take your hand off my spine.
Come on.
Put me down.
Yes, guide. Put Mr. Benny down. I'll give you the 60 cents.
Wait a minute, Fred. Wait a minute. Put that money away.
But, Jack.
I've only seen half the tour.
Well, Jack.
Give him 30 cents.
Here you are, guide.
Thanks. Follow me, folks. Now, on your right is a water cooler.
Well, Fred, it was nice of you to pay that 30 cents.
Oh, it was nothing?
Nothing, he says. 30 cents.
Jack, how can you be so cheap?
All right, go ahead. Be like the other radio comedians. Tell some cheap jokes. Say I'm tighter than the skin on Sidney Greenstreet's hip. I squeeze a nickel so hard the E pluribus laps over the unum. Tell him.
Well, Jack, I didn't...
Oh, start insulting me after I made a special trip up here just to say goodbye before I leave for Hollywood.
Well, Jack, I...
All of a sudden, I'm cheap. I won't even eat in the sun. My shadow might ask me for a bite.
Your shadow has teeth? Jack, look. Jack, don't get excited. Look, if you're cheap, you're cheap.
That's the way I look at it. Some people save asparagus ends. It's a hobby. My hobby is not spending.
Well, Jack, if there ever was a time that you and I should not argue, this is the time.
What do you mean, this is the time?
Well, haven't you heard? A lot of the radio programs that have been on for many years have been canceled. They'll not be back on the air next fall.
Well, that's radio, Fred. It's dog eat dog. I always say, only the fit survive.
Oh, how true. By the way, you finished tonight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Tonight was my last show of the season.
Did your sponsor mention anything about your program coming back in October?
Well, no, Fred, but we have a mutual understanding. You see, we always sort of take it for granted.
Oh.
The season ends, the sponsor shakes hands with me, and then we... Yipe!
Jack, what's wrong?
Tonight he didn't shake hands.
Well, that's what happened to the street singer. At the end of the year, his sponsor used to wink. One year he didn't wink, the street singer was back in the street.
But Fred, why should my sponsor want to get rid of me? Well, I'm funnier than I was when I started, and I'm getting less money.
Really?
Some weeks when he's short, I take tobacco. I hate to get these big laughs on your program.
Let's face it, Jack. Radio needs new blood. Who knows? We may be through.
I've been on radio 14 years. They can't throw me aside like an old shoe.
But, Jack...
14 years. And now, like an old shoe.
But, Jack, you with that hmm and yipe. 14 years is a long time.
Fred, what has Ma Perkins got that I haven't got? Only longer commercials. That's it.
Well, Jack, you know how it is in radio. Today you're a star. Tomorrow Ralph Edwards is hitting you in the face with a pie.
Like an old shoe.
Well, cheer up, Jack. At least we have our memories. We've known each other for 30 years.
Yep. The first time I met you, Fred, I was just a kid in school. A diller, a dollar, a 10 o'clock scholar.
You were the only 10 o'clock scholar I ever saw with 5 o'clock shadow.
How I could use some of that fuzz today. I could use a good joke today, too.
The next time we met, we were in vaudeville, remember? You were doing a musical act.
Playing the violin. What a finish I had. When I played Glowworm, my violin lit up.
With those neon strings, it was beautiful.
Fred, remember my encore?
Encore?
Remember I'd put the violin bow in my teeth, bend the crab, and play Listen to the Mockingbird?
And as you bent the crab, two mockingbirds flew out of the back of your pants.
I stopped every show.
Except this one. Remember the closing... Remember the closing...
This one stopped 5 minutes before I got on it.
With Cash Daly. Remember that week in Needles, Arizona, the closing act, Cohen's Camels?
Cohen's? No,
the closing act. Jack, how could you forget Cohen's Camels?
Cohen, I remember. My sponsor told me to forget that other word.
Ah, those were the happy days. The next time I saw you, you were just going into radio.
Radio. I remember the morning Marconi called me up.
Marconi?
Marconi and Singing Sam had a little radio station in a doorway down on the east side. The antenna was a Western Union boy holding a wire.
Well, I guess
it's... jokes don't fit.
No, they don't.
The antenna. When did I ever say antenna on my own show? Go ahead, Fred.
Well, it's all over, Jack. We've come to the end of the rainbow.
Like an old shoe.
Like, there it is again.
And I'm 10 minutes already. I've only had it for an old shoe. Oh, I forgot antenna.
Yeah. You ought to get a boot out of that old shoe by now.
No, I'm sorry I brought it back in again. It seems like only yesterday I ran into the May Company and said, Mary, stop demonstrating that Brillo. That's another word I don't know.
It goes on top of an antenna. Brillo fits on an antenna. Cheer up, Jack. When you're retired, you can tune in on my program.
Your program? You mean you're not getting thrown out of radio, too?
Well, why should I?
Listen, if my program is old stuff, you with that broken-down Allen's Alley...
No, well, wait, I mean my new show.
New show?
People don't want entertainment today. A radio show has to give away things. Nylons, iceboxes, automobiles.
You mean to stay on the air, you have to give things away? Free?
Yes.
I'll die first.
Well, not me. I'm auditioning my new program tonight.
And Fred, you're giving things away?
Tons of stuff.
To strangers?
What's the difference who gets it?
Well, Fred, as long as I'm here in the studio...
No, I'm sorry, Jack. Professional people cannot participate. It's a rule.
But don't you ever find people on these programs changing their names to get something for nothing?
Well, occasionally we do catch a phony, but we're on the air. What can we do?
Nothing. You have to give them the merchandise?
That's right.
Now, Mr. Allen, we're ready for your audition.
I'll run along, Fred. So long.
So long, Jack.
Giving away things for nothing.
Well, all right, Mr. Goodman, let's try out my new show.
How would you like to be king for a day? Ah! And here he is, the man who will change one of you nobodies into king for a day, the old kingmaker himself, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening. Did all you folks in the audience like those $1,000 bills you found on your seats when you came in? Good, and if you want more, there'll be a big bag of money at the door. On your way out, help yourselves. But the stage is loaded with hundreds of presents for the first man to answer our jumbo jackpot question. He will be king for a day. And here is our first eager contestant. Good evening, sir. What is your name?
Abner Flog.
Mr. Flog, how old are you?
I'm 98.
98 years old.
And don't pin no orchid onto me.
No orchid, eh?
That's how I lost my wife.
On a quiz program?
Yeah. My wife was 102. A fella pinned an orchid onto her.
I see.
The weight of the orchid bent my wife over and snapped her spine.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, my wife won first prize, but she never knew it.
Well, all right, Mr. Flog. Now for our question. You may be king for a day.
I don't think I'll last through the day.
All right, we'll hurry. Tell me, who was the sixth president of the United States?
The sixth?
There were three names.
Mary Margaret McBride?
Oh. I'm awfully sorry, Mr. Flog. But for making such a swell try, here is a gift certificate presented at LaGuardia Airfield, and you will get a brand new B-29 and a polka dot form-fitting parachute. Happy landing, Mr. Flog. And here is our next potential king for a day. Your name, sir?
Myron Proudfoot.
Myron Proudfoot? You look like a chap I know.
I'm not interested in your friends. Start giving things away, brother.
What is your occupation, Mr. Proudfoot?
I'm a chaplain in a bakery.
What does a chaplain do in a bakery?
I put wings on angel cakes.
How long have you been in the cake business, Mr. Proudfoot?
Long enough to know a crumb when I see one. When I see one.
Now, don't get sarcastic, Mr. Proudleg.
The name is Proudfoot, and make with the question.
All right. Who is the sixth president of the United States?
John Quincy Adams.
John Quincy Adams is correct, and Mr. Myron Proudfoot is king for a day. Folks, here he is, King Proudfoot. Well, Your Majesty, how do you feel?
Never mind how I feel. What do I get?
Well, First, for His Majesty from Schnook's Sport Nook, a genuine no-splash beaver board canoe paddle.
Here, a canoe paddle. Oh, boy.
And with the compliments of Tiffany's, this chromium pitchfork.
A four-pronger, and it's all mine.
And from Hemingway's hardware store, 200 pounds of self-hardening putty for King for a day.
Just what I needed. Just what I needed.
This is just the beginning, King. King, you are over 35.
By 2 years.
Fine. That jumbo cotton, Uncle Jim, for His Majesty. He is over.
Effie, that's what? Yipe backward.
And here, the piston rod from a genuine Baldwin locomotive for His Majesty the King. A small locomotive. And here, from Melody Lane Music Shop, this case of 2,000 soybean mandolin picks. These are the mandolin picks.
I just keep pinching myself to believe it.
Immediately after this program, Your Majesty will be guest of honor at a banquet at Hamburger Heaven. Tomorrow morning, through the courtesy of the sanitation department, you will be guest conductor on the 11-5 garbage run through the Bronx. At night, in your ermine robe, you will be whisked by bicycle to Orange, New Jersey, where you will be the judge in a chicken cleaning contest.
I'm king for a day!
Not all.
There's more?
Yes, we are going to start right now to make you look like a king. Sam of Sam's Super Shoe Shine Stand is here to brush your shoes. All right, Sam.
Sam, watch out for the button.
Next, the president of the Busy Bee Hat Cleaners is here to block your hat. Take the king's hat, Mr. Bumble.
And change the newspaper in the hat band.
Your suit is a little baggy, King. Boys, take His Majesty's coat off.
Wait.
On our stage, we have a Hoffman pressing machine.
Now, wait a minute.
An expert operating the Hoffman pressing machine will press your trousers.
Now, wait a minute.
Keep my shirt on, King.
You better keep my shirt on.
We're a little late, folks.
tune in again.
Come on, Alan, give me my pass.
Quiet, King.
Alan, this is a place. Where are my pass?
Denny, for 15 years I've been waiting to catch you like
Alan,
this.
Alan, you haven't seen the end of me.
It won't be long now.
I want my pass.
Now, if you don't know what day today is...
Today is the day to get out the tall glasses. The iced tea season is here. Time to enjoy iced Tenderleaf tea, one of summer's main attractions. Yes, iced tea is raised to its ultimate best by the use of this richer blend. In fact, the iced tea season has played a big part in making Tenderleaf tea so famous for flavor. Flavor means more. It's more important through the summer months. So everybody sets out to get all the flavor going, and that leads straight to Tenderleaf tea for finer flavor and more art. In spite of melting ice, the richer goodness of Tenderleaf tea persists. The last swallow of the glass is still delicious, still flavorful Tenderleaf tea.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another half hour of Fred Allen with its weekly segment of Allen's Alley, where Allen asks a topical question of the comic stereotypes, which include a Jewish immigrant, a Southern senator, and a Shakespearean actor. The guest star on this episode is multi-talented entertainer George Jessel. Here it is, The Fred Allen Show, Movie of Fred's Life, first broadcast January 20th, 1946 on NBC.
It isn't the mayor of Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga, kid.
The makers of Bluebonnet Margarine and Tenderleaf Tea present the Fred Allen Show with Fred's guest, George Jessel, Portland Hoffa, Minerva Pius as Mrs. Nussbaum, Alan Reed as Falstaff Openshaw, the Tenderleaf Workshop players, the DeMarco sisters, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. And if you wonder who Senator Claghorn is, my name is Kenny Delmar. In the January issue of Cosmopolitan magazine, ladies and gentlemen, the so-called star of this program was selected as the Cosmopolite of the Month. He's been called about everything else, but this month he's a Cosmopolite. And here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And Kenny, that story about me and Cosmopolitan, written by H. Allen Smith, turned out quite well, I thought.
Yeah, you know, Fred, all of the magazines seem to be saluting people each month.
They're always saluting, I've noticed that.
Yeah, the Time magazine made President Truman the man of the year in January.
You know, I hear Time is making Mayor LaGuardia the man of the month for February. It's a short month, I think. The Hobo, the other magazines are still going full blast. The Hobo News is making Jack Benny the tramp of the month. Pick is picking the punk of the month. And the Poultry Journal may be...
Mr. Allen!
Well, Portland. You want to cut in, Portland? Kenny and I are talking about magazines saluting different people. Has anyone in your family ever been honored by a magazine?
Well, last year, the Police Gazette chose Mama as Miss Patrol Wagon for 1945.
Miss Patrol Wagon, huh? Is that... I'll laugh at it. At least you got me there. Is that a camp stool you have with you there?
It's for Mama. She's standing in line.
Standing in line for what?
Mama doesn't know whether she's going to see the picture at the Roxy, get a ticket for Florida, or end up with a pair of nylons.
She doesn't know?
Mama just saw a long line and got in it.
Oh, well, that's the trouble with the country today, Portland. Half of the people are standing in line to buy things. The other half is standing in line picketing. But aren't you... Just a mild demonstration, if any. Just a... We work it up as we go along. When Mr. Jessel arrives, big things happen. But tell me, aren't you, Portland? Aren't you cold with those liquid stockings on?
No, I always mix in a little antifreeze.
Oh, with the...
There's only one trouble with liquid stockings in the winter. If it gets hot all of a sudden, you've got a shoe full of stocking. You never can tell.
Last week, Mama drank some liquid stockings by mistake.
Drank some? Didn't it bother her?
For 2 days, she hiccuped Bobby socks.
Oh, she did. I know a man who drank a whole bottle of liquid stockings accidentally.
Was he sick?
No, but he had to swallow a garter to hold his stomach up. That was the last time he saw Paris. And speaking of garters, when you've got to go to Allen's Alley, you've got to go. Remind me to give the writers more money. These women, they've got to go. These women.
Ready?
A question, you bet. You know, this past week, strikes closed most of the meatpacking plants throughout the country, shutting off the country's supply of meat. And so our question tonight is, if you have been unable to get your quota, how have you been coping with the meat shortage?
Shall we go?
As the electric fan said when somebody turned it on, I think I'll blow. Well, here we are back in Allen's Alley, Portland. I guess the senator's home all right. His bullwhip is coiled up on the front step there.
Somebody, I say, somebody knock.
Now look, Senator.
Claghorn's the name, Senator Claghorn.
I know your name. You're from the South.
I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dallas.
Yeah,
on the radio, I'll never listen to thanks to the Yanks.
Now, wait a minute.
I'll speak up, son. What's on your mind?
Well, if I only...
Go ahead and talk,
well,
son.
Well, all I'm trying to do is...
Well, the war's over, son, today. Loose lips ain't sinking ships.
I'm just trying to get a word in.
Hey, open your mouth, son. I've heard more conversation coming out of a knothole.
You're winded, hey?
Only momentarily, son.
Good. Now, I'll get in there. What about this meat strike?
I brought it up in the house. Pay attention now, son. I heard Quail Loose talk. Loose talk, that's a joke, son.
I know it's a joke. I don't care.
That was a Birmingham belly buster.
Now, wait a minute.
You should be yucking. You ain't even smirking.
I don't even get a chance to smirk.
Hold up, son. You don't get it. You're from back country.
Now, look, Senator. What about this meat problem?
Well, the nation's capital will have plenty of meat for everybody.
Well, where is Washington going to get this meat?
Son, there's 130 million Americans.
Yes?
And today, every American is sending his beef to Washington. So long, son.
Well, the senator has a head like a pot roast. It brings back happy memories. Well, I hope Titus Moody is still up tonight. Now, let's see.
Howdy, Bob.
Your exhaust is working well, Mr. Moody. You feel all right? You look a little shaky.
Boy, was I stiff last night.
Drinking?
No. Somebody put starch in my bath water.
You have a bathtub in the house?
No. Every Saturday night, I take a can of Dutch cleanser and lower myself down in the well.
In this cold weather?
No. During the winter, I don't slop around in the well.
Well, how do you keep clean?
Once a week, I go over myself with a eraser and a whisk broom.
Well, how about the meat shortage?
Oh, that don't bother me, Norton. I'm a vegetarian.
Well, haven't you ever tasted meat?
Only once. That cured me.
What happened?
About 20 years ago, a city fella come around selling rabbits.
And you bought one?
Yeah. He give me the rinky-dink.
The old R.D., hey?
Yeah.
Well, how do you mean?
He was dishonest.
Dishonest, huh?
Yeah, looked like a rabbit, cooked like a rabbit, tasted like a rabbit.
What makes you think it wasn't?
Well, for 2 weeks after I ate the rabbit...
Yes?
Every time I smelled catnip, I turned a somersault. Come on, Doc.
Yeah. Mr. Moody still has that hang cat look, I must say. Oh, well, what will a knock at this door bring?
No.
Oh, Mrs. Nussbaum.
You were expecting maybe Weinstein Churchill.
Tell me, Mrs. N, has the meat strike bothered you?
I am in a dilemma.
Dilemma?
There is such a word.
Oh, yes. Yes, dilemma is a word. You might have read it someplace.
I'm only reading broken English.
Oh.
As I am speaking, so I am reading.
Oh, fine.
Why be deceitful? Who am I fooling?
Well, I see your point, yes. I agree with you thoroughly. But what about the meat shortage?
Confidentially, we are having well in hand the situation.
You had some old meat stored up, did you?
Oh, no. My husband, Pierre, is buying a goat. A second-hand billy.
A second-hand? A used goat. A live goat?
The first night, we are locking him in the clothes closet.
I see.
During the night, the goat is eating the backs off of three of Pierre's union suits.
Oh, gosh.
The next day, the goat Pierre is killing and we are having for dinner.
Well, after eating the backs off three union suits, how did the goat taste?
Like flapjacks, but delicious.
Oh, I... And that brings us to the little vine-covered shanty at the end of the alley. A knock here should certainly start something.
Shout huzzah, scream adjectives flowery. Falstaff is here, the bard of the Bowery.
Well, Falstaff. Something tells me that you have new poems for us tonight.
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard, when they pinched Uncle Charlie, his excuse was a honey? He claimed he was in the bank just feeling the money.
No, I haven't heard that.
Or, the jukebox was playing I'm Confessin' as she lured me into the delicatessen.
No. No.
How about this? Mother, please don't point father at me. He may be loaded again.
Now, wait a minute. Please. Tonight, we are simply discussing the meat strike.
Precisely why I am here. I would bark some doggerel.
Well, what is your meat poem called?
Joy reigns supreme in the stockyards.
Uh-huh. How does it go?
Joy reigns supreme in the stockyards. When the meat strike was called through the nation, the cattle doomed to die in their pens gave the news tremendous ovation. A little ram frisked with his ewe. A Holstein kissed one of the steers. A big shaggy heifer danced round like a zephyr. A brindle cow mooed out three cheers. Yes, joy reigned supreme in the stockyards. Chicago's ne'er seen such a sight. A jubilant ox jumped up on a box and yelled, "Ah, there's good news tonight."
And as Bard Openshaw scouts for the wings, we turn to our melodic, Mrs. the Five DeMarco Sisters. Tonight, accompanied by Al Goodman and his poor man's Philharmonic, the DeMarco sing Hubba Hubba from the new picture, Doll Face.
Hubba, 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 hello, Jack. Hubba, 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 just got back. Well, hubba, 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 shoot some breeze, say whatever happens to the Japanese. Hubba, hubba.
I'll say it, you heard.
Hubba, 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 we got the word. We got it from a guy who was in the know. It was mighty smoky over Tokyo. A friend of mine in a B-29 dropped another load for luck. As he blew away, he was heard to say, hubba, hubba, mop, mop, I got another mission. That's okay. And with the guy permission, well, I'll just say, hubba, 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 be on your way. And I'll take you later in the U.S.A.
About.
Well, I got another mission, and that's very okay. And with your guy permission, well, I'll just say, hubba, 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 be on your way, and I'll dig you later in the USA. Hubba, 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 dig you later in the USA.
And now, a helpful hint about the family table.
Whatever concerns the family table is important to us all, and here's a good example. I'll bet you can all bake good biscuits, ladies. Tender, light, fluffy, mouth-melting. And here's a spread just made to go on these super biscuits of yours. Blue Bonnet Margarine. For Blue Bonnet gives you flavor, nutrition, economy. All three. Blue Bonnet has a delicious flavor. Fresh, delicate, country sweet. You'll say no spread at any price ever gave you more delicious eating. Blue Bonnet gives you proved nutrition, too. It's rich in food energy, rich in vitamin A. As for economy, you'll find Blue Bonnet saves you real money. Why, it costs so little you can spread it on twice as thick. And remember, Blue Bonnet Margarine is a product of the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. A name that down through the years has always stood for quality. Be sure to ask your grocer for Blue Bonnet tomorrow. Remember the letters F-N-E for flavor, nutrition, economy. Blue Bonnet Margarine gives all three. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
That was just a few flakes from Let It Snow, played by Maestro Al Goodman and his racing form rhythm boys. Okay, yes, Portland.
Shall I pile these letters here?
If you will, please. Those are the last of the Jack Benny contest letters. I've been up three nights reading them. You know, I'm one of the judges. And speaking of letters, Portland reminds me, could you get your pencil, please? I want to dictate a letter.
I'm all ready.
You're ready? We'll take this down. Mr. George Jessel, 20th Century Fox Studios. Dear Mr. Jessel, you are a rap, capital R. Signed, yours sincerely, Fred Allen. Get that off instantly.
Well, I thought you and Georgie were friends.
I'll never speak to Jessel again unless I happen to get a wrong number.
Gosh, what happened?
Well, last week, Mr. Jessel was here in New York. You know, he's a big producer for 20th Century Fox Pictures now, and I received a note saying that Mr. Jessel wanted to see me. So I got all dressed up, got my cane out of Simpsons, and started for Mr. Jessel's office. When I arrived at the 20th Century Fox building, I found Mr. Jessel's office, a big nylon door, and I knocked on the door.
Come in, come in.
Georgie Jessel. Well, Georgie.
Excuse me, Fred. I'm on the phone at the moment. Hello, Legit Drugstore. This is Georgie Jessel speaking. I want 6 boxcars of Bromo Seltzer sent out to my studio in Hollywood right away. Okay.
Georgie, 6 boxcars of Bromo Seltzer?
It's for my new picture, Fred.
Bromo Seltzer?
Yes, I'm making a sequel to The Lost Weekend. It's called Saratoga Drunk.
Oh.
Laugh, son. What's the matter with you?
Saratoga Drunk sounds like a great picture.
Well, it's a new idea, Fred. An elephant drinks too much and sees 200 pink Sabus.
Only in Hollywood could you possibly pick up 200 pink Sabus. And Hollywood, I must say, has surely changed you, Georgie. Those clothes you have on.
Oh, well, this is my working suit, Fred. The shirt happens to have a pink dickie, but nobody notices.
No. A mink, it's mink, isn't it? It isn't pink, it's a mink dickie.
That's
and
right.
It goes well.
That's right.
It goes well.
It says pink here, but I'll say mink anyway.
It goes well with that fur mandarin coat you have on.
Yes, this is genuine grizzly bear. Instead of the belt in the back, it has a big paw hanging down.
Oh,
this paw is spelled paw.
A big paw. But as you are, you Hollywood tycoons with your paws hanging down in the back, I suppose you're still living in that house out in Beverly Hills that looks like the Rose Bowl with Venetian blinds.
Oh, you should see it now, Fred. I've had all the grass dyed white.
You have white grass?
Yes.
Why?
Well, when the newsboy throws the paper on the lawn, the color shouldn't clash, you see?
That's
Fred, I've got lavender trees and a pink hedge and a plaid sidewalk.
Well, say, this riot of colors must be causing plenty of comment.
What comment?
Nobody even notices it.
In Hollywood, who takes off the dark glasses?
Oh, I see. Georgie, I wonder what would happen if one day everybody in Hollywood took off their dark glasses and all of the people got a good look at each other.
This is a horrible thought, Fred.
It is. But tell me about your house, Georgie. You have a swimming pool, of course.
I have the biggest pool in Hollywood.
Well, how big is it?
Well, when you stand on one side of the pool...
Yes?
From the other side, you can hear voices yelling. When are they going to send us home? That's how big your pool is.
Well, you're a great success, Georgie. I saw your last picture, The Dolly Sisters. It was swell.
Well, what I did for The Dolly Sisters, Fred, I can do for you. As a matter of fact, that's why I sent for you.
Really?
I want to produce a story of your life.
The story of my life?
Yes. It'll be bigger than Daryl Zanuck's Leave It or Heaven. I had to get it in.
Georgie, I know they have a big whip out there when you leave on the plane. But, Georgie, what actor could you possibly get to play my life? Don Ameche?
No, Ameche's tied up.
Really?
You know, with the telephone situation. He's sorry he started the whole thing off. No, there's only one man to play your life, Fred, and that is you.
You mean that I will be the star?
Star? Why, it's your life. Everybody else in the picture is just the stooge.
I'm the whole picture.
Yes, Fred, there's just one little thing.
Yes, George.
Well, now, you know how Alfred Hitchcock always sneaks into some scene in every picture that he directs.
Yes, you always see Mr. Hitchcock in the crowd trying to get into the automat with his nickel out or something.
That's right, that's right. Now, do you mind if I do just a little bit like that in your picture?
A little bit? Of course not, George.
You know, they'll just see the back of my head maybe in a barber's chair or... Maybe I'll run past the camera with a pushcart fast. Nobody will see. Suppose we just call that a producer's whim.
Well, anything you say, Georgie. Now, what is this story like?
All right, the picture opens with the 20th Century Fox signature music.
George Jessel presents
The Life of Fred Allen,
starring Fred Allen.
Say... That's wonderful, Georgie. Now what happened?
Now, as the story opens, Fred, you are 4 years old.
Now, wait a minute. Well, how can I play a four-year-old kid?
Fred, our makeup man can do anything, really.
But I'm 6 feet tall. How can I be a kid?
You play the whole first scene on your knees.
On my knees?
Yeah, we'll glue some shoes on your kneecaps, and nobody will know the difference.
Well, if I walk on my knees, my arms will be dragging on the ground.
All right, so we'll double up your arms, stick little false fingers on your elbows.
Well, after I'm made up, what do I do in the picture?
Well, the story opens in Illinois. Now, you see,
now,
Fred...
Wait a minute, Georgie. I was born in Boston, in Massachusetts.
I know that, Fred, but we have an old Illinois set left on the lot from another picture.
What picture?
Home in Indiana.
Home in Indiana.
Now, Fred, if you're going to question every little
detail... You're the producer, Georgie. Go
on. All right. The picture opens. It is morning.
To little Freddie Allen, starting out in life, the world is a glorious adventure. He is on his way to school, happy, carefree. But see, he stops. The little tyke is worried. Is he late for school? By the side of the road, he sees a gaunt, lean man chopping logs. Hurrying over to this woodchopper, little Freddy says...
Sir, what is the time?
The time, my son? It's time for every American to stop and ponder. Our country is at the crossroads. Sit down on this log, son. I'm only a rail splitter myself. My name is Lincoln. Abe Lincoln.
Now, wait a minute, sir.
I wrote a talk, but I'm going to make it. My boy, I'd like you to hear it and tell me what you think of it. Sit down on the log and I'll read it for you.
Look, now, wait.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation.
Now, look,
conceived in liberty and dedicated to the Republic.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Stop the music. Stop the music.
Now, what's the matter, Fred? What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
This is supposed to be the life of Fred Allen. It starts out, the whole thing is Abraham Lincoln.
Now, Fred, who is sitting there on the log listening to Abraham Lincoln? You. Now, the way the camera said, whose face is the audience? See, yours. And I want to tell you something. You were great.
I was great,
yes.
I didn't do anything.
You don't understand pictures, Fred.
Well, look, I...
Now, do you realize what America owes you? If you hadn't let Lincoln try out his Gettysburg Address on you, he might have gotten discouraged and torn up the whole business.
Well, I
can't you hear people saying, why, if it wasn't for little Fred Allen, the Civil War might still be going on.
Now, but George, if I was 4 years old when Lincoln was a rail splitter, today I'd be 125 years of age.
Who listens, who cares about such things in fiction? Maybe a couple of history professors who are sitting in the balcony, that's all. Or Joel Kupperman. Now, pay no attention to it. Just wait till you see this next thing.
Am I in it?
Am I in it? He says, am I in it? It's all you, Fred. You're a young man, but you have taken to drink.
Drink?
Yes, you're living in Albany. It's apple country, and you're a cider fiend.
I'm full of cider, huh?
Yeah, you're full of cider. Now you have to make a decision. What will it be? Cider or success? As the scene opens, it's the waterfront. The camera's on a jug of cider in your hand. It's clutching that jug.
Will young Fred Allen be picked up by Cider Anonymous? See,
He awakens, still in a stupor. He staggers up to a man standing next to a boat on the dock. Alan speaks.
Mister, what day is this?
What day is this, young man? Today is a new day in American navigation. My name is Fulton, Robert Fulton.
Now, wait a minute.
In a few minutes, I'm testing my steamboat, the Clermont. That's why this crowd is here right now. Folks, in a minute you'll see a miracle, a boat driven by steam.
Fulton's father.
All right, laugh, you fools, but I'll show you. I told you my boat would go today. I'll steam down the river.
Steam's up, Mr. Fulton, steam's up.
All right, cast those ropes and start the engine. Watch my steam.
This is the story of my life. I'm already 25 years old, and so far in my whole life, I have spoken twice. I have asked two questions.
Fred, you don't understand pictures.
I don't understand pictures, but Georgie, if I only had some lines to say, at least I could pull the whistle on the boat.
A star pulls whistles on a boat?
But what is Robert Fulton?
Look, you don't get the significance, Fred.
I did something again?
Certainly you did. You see, when Fulton faced that mob of scoffers, he was about to give up. Yes. But he saw in the crowd one face that encouraged him. The camera closes in. This face that he saw, this is yours.
You mean that I'm there on the dock?
Why, if it wasn't for you today, there would be no Fulton Fish Market. There'd be no steam. There'd be no Turkish bass. No steam. Tailors would be pressing pants by hand.
But, Georgie...
Stop complaining, will you? Because the rest of the picture is all you.
Well, it's about time. Now, what happens now?
Next scene opens down south. Uh-huh. You started a new life, Fred. You got a job.
Good.
You're on your way to rent a room. And as we fade in, you're walking up the stairs of an old southern mansion.
Sounds good.
Yes, Fred Allen has made a comeback. He has work. His eyes are bright. The world is before him. He knocks on the door of the old southern mansion. A kindly old man with snow-white hair opens the door.
Pardon me, sir. Have you a room to rent?
Come right in, son, and set yourself down. My name is Foster, Stephen Foster.
Now, wait a minute.
Funny, I wrote a new song this morning, and I want to sing it for you.
Now, look, George.
Way down upon the Suwannee River, far, far away.
This is the last draw.
All right, now what?
What is this picture? The life of Fred Allen or a George Jessel cavalcade?
What do you mean?
Now stop stalling, Jessel. You were just going to put the back of your head in my picture. Now first the picture, you're Lincoln, then you're Fulton, now you're Stephen Foster. When do you show up as Florence Nightingale?
Who showed you the script?
Never mind. The picture end.
How does the picture end? Every picture fades out with a kiss.
Don't tell me you're a contortionist and you kiss yourself.
Now listen, Fred Allen, I'm the producer.
And listen, George Jessel, I'm the star. If this is the life of Fred Allen, I won't stand
for it. All right, I'll tell you what to do. Drop dead and I'll make your life a two reel short.
Fine, well, I'll do that. Make an appointment. Kenny, with a short talk on the American woman.
Ever since Priscilla married John Alden, the fame of the American woman has been growing. In spirit, beauty, and ability, she leads the world today. At home, above all, she is practical, especially about shopping. That's why she buys Tenderleaf tea balls in preference to all others. They are the largest selling tea balls in America because they are better in every way. In daily use, with meals or between, they provide finer, richer, more delicious tea. It's famous for flavor Tenderleaf brand tea in tasteless filter paper packets. The crisp white filter paper is pleasant to see, inviting and dainty to handle. It's entirely insoluble, so your tea is filtered as it's being made. No specks in your cup, nothing but tea goodness and a world of quick comfort. When you want quick comfort, get it this easy way. One Tenderleaf tea ball in your cup with boiling water added. Yes, for every good, practical reason, ask your grocer for Tenderleaf brand tea ball.
Thank you, Kenny. And now before we stack up the Tenderleaf tea and put the bluebonnet margarine back in the icebox, I want to thank Georgie Jessel for joining us tonight. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night, the Fred Allen Show brings you comedy. drama.
But, Henrietta, you're too young to die.
Oh, yeah, hand me that peroxide.
And our guest will be...
that writer of hit tunes, Johnny Mercer.
Thank you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.